today on Real Radio.
Brokenness before God is absolute victory. We bring our lives to God, and it is His responsibility to transform us. And we've got to keep that ever present before our faces, church. You lose sight of that, and you're going to get messed up. Christian, you lose sight of that, you're going to get off course. You are God's responsibility, not your own.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Lord Knows, Part 3, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. As we head towards the end of the book of Isaiah, we've seen the hand of God over everything that happened both in Isaiah's time and in the time when Jesus was here on earth in a physical body. But what becomes even more clear is God's unrelenting love for us. He not only gave us His Son as a sacrifice for our sins, but He gave us the hope of Christ's return to rule and to reign and to bring His form of justice to the world. In part 2 of Isaiah chapter 57, we learned that when a follower of Jesus Christ dies, their spirit is immediately ushered into the presence of the Lord. The Lord knows those who are His and those who are not His. When we reject God, we end up filling our lives with other forms of worship. Many even sacrifice their jobs, their families, and their ultimate souls for worldly pleasures. So today on day 2 of chapter 57, Pastor Jack tells us that those who are humble in spirit are not perfect, but will ask God for forgiveness when they do wrong. They don't stay in their sin. The Lord delights in protecting and preserving us when we come to Him with a pure heart. And now continuing in his lesson called The Lord Knows, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You won't see an actual life-size version of Moloch. He was massive. But people replicated little idols of him. They've been unearthed. They're in museums all around the world. This stocky, stout, fat, brazen altar of a man with a big hole in his stomach, with his arms pitched almost like a forklift lifted upward, about a 45-degree angle. And in the worship, now look, this depicts the children of Israel, because this is how far they departed. They would take their firstborn child in the worship of Moloch, and they would dedicate, listen how stupid this is, they would dedicate their baby to him, to that thing. As he's glowing red hot, the baby would roll down the arms into the fire. And do you know why they would do that? Because Moloch, I'll read it, the sacrifice of conception of the firstborn, would be dedicated to Moloch, who would in turn promise, number one, financial gain. You sacrifice your child, you'll be financially better off. Moloch. Number two, and he promised you to add children to your future. He takes away your kid, but he promises you kids in the future. Isn't this just like one of Satan's lies? Moloch was, is the habitation of a spirit being and is either that of Satan himself, a fallen angel, or a rank of demons. Moloch, that altar, has always been present in humanity throughout ancient antiquity. The sacrifice of children. I would say tonight that Moloch is alive in America. He's certainly alive in the United Nations of nations, because children are being sacrificed again. In America and around the world. On the altar of pleasure, on the altar of Moloch. Verse 11 says, and of whom you have been afraid. Who have you been afraid or feared? God says, what's wrong with you people? You've become so callous that you have lied and not remembered me, nor taken into your heart. Is it not because I have held my peace? Well, you know what? God hasn't stopped me from doing what I'm doing. Must be okay. From of old that you did not fear me. Wow. Well, I'm getting away with it, Pastor, whatever I'm doing. No, you're not. God is slow to anger. He's waiting. He's gentle. Verse 12 says, I will declare your, that is false righteousness. I will declare your righteousness, it's false, and your works, which are empty. For they will not profit you. And when you cry out, listen to this, let your collection of your idols deliver you. Wow. Wow. Let Wall Street deliver you, or let Budweiser deliver you, or let fill in the blank deliver you. What, we have a tendency without God in our lives to trust other things, to trust in other people. God says, watch out. He says, let those other things deliver you, and the wind will carry them all away. A breath will take them away. But, hallelujah, but he who puts his trust in me, that's the Lord, shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Verse 14, and one shall say, heap it up, prepare the way, take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. That is a word from God to you and I tonight saying, come back, be revived, return to me. Now look, verses 15 to 19. The Lord knows those who love him. He knows those who love him. Verse 15 says, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Watch everybody. Are you guys listening? Are you with me tonight? Listen, watch the beautiful contradiction or the beautiful void. I'm God, I dwell in eternity, he says, in the high and lofty place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. You see the difference? God is on his throne, we are here on earth. What links us together with him? What brings us together? A contrite heart. Very quickly, because it's not the point of the message tonight, but what would be a contrite heart? A repentant heart. A heart that says this. A heart, listen, a humble and contrite heart is not a perfect person. It is a person who walks in the presence of God in their faith. Understanding this. When they fall down, when they go left, when they go right, when they sin, they don't stay at it. Church, listen, they don't sin and then go down the road for a few days, weeks, hours, or months and then wake up to it. That would be backslidden, and Christians can backslide, most certainly. But he's talking about the one, who will I dwell with, God is saying. I'm holy, lofty, and righteous, and I dwell in eternity. But I dwell with the person of a contrite heart, a heart that understands and knows that I am a sinner, and God saves all those who repent and turn toward him, that say this within their heart, Lord, forgive me, I've sinned against you, and you only have I sinned. That's the truth. We do sin and hurt other people. That's sad, and that is the ramifications of our sin, but the ultimate sin is when we sin against God, which could be thought, which could be deed. And God says, I dwell with that person. Does that seem strange to you? God says, I dwell with that person who understands that they're walking with me, who is lofty and holy. Church, listen, you and I are not lofty and holy. He is. But yet he turns to us and says, I want you to walk with me. Didn't he say it to Enoch? Walk with me, Enoch. Enoch didn't say, excuse me, I can't. You're the high and lofty one. Enoch shut his mouth and said, right on, you invited me, I'm going. Okay, let's go. Go with him. Walk with him. He wants you to have your life protected, your life preserved, your life eternally granted through him. He delights in that. He knows those who love him. There's a fine line, though, church, that we walk between brokenness and being broken. The person who is of a contrite and humble heart, humble spirit, there's a righteous, good brokenness about them. It's a good thing. But being broken, that's something different. And there's a world of hurt out there, church, that is aligned against us to break us. It's the world all around us. It can be those that are nearest and closest to us. If it's not that, it's the condemnation of self-sin and failure in our lives. Of course, Jesus said it could be the devil himself coming against us. I got a text this afternoon from Dr. Heinzen. Love that guy, Ed Heinzen, at Liberty University. And he said, Jack, I follow almost everything that goes on in Southern California and with your church. And he says, but I've concluded that the vicinity of what's going on in this area is under the attack of the enemy. Did you think for a moment that those who hate God and hate your faith and hate your freedom and liberty would stay in Wisconsin? But no, they funded an office and they moved here to shut you down, to take prayer out of schools and to try to silence churches in this area. That is an honor where I come from. If in your life you're walking with Jesus, there's a fine line between being broken before the Lord, which is a good thing, brokenness, contrite of spirit and humble of heart, knowing that you are weak and of nothing, but God, amen, but God. There go I, but for the grace of God, versus being broken. God doesn't break his children. This world seeks to break you. Brokenness before God is absolute victory. Going to God in absolute awareness that you can't save yourself. You can't reconstitute yourself. There's no remodeling for us. We don't have a 7-step or 8-step or 10-step program. We bring our lives to God, and it is his responsibility to transform us. And we've got to keep that ever present before our faces, church. You lose sight of that and you're going to get messed up. Christian, you lose sight of that, you're going to get off course. You are God's responsibility, not your own. You and I, as Christians, were mandated by God to no longer call the shots in our lives. He loves you, and he's the only one that knows what's best for you and for me. And he cares for you more than you'll ever care for yourself. By the way, you don't even know how to care for yourself. I do not know how to care for myself. When we care for ourselves, we really get messed up. Let God care for you. And understand and believe with faith that he loves you. There's nothing you can do. Church, there's nothing you can do to change his love for you. But there's a fine line. When darkness surrounds you, I wrote a few things down. There are some things that you must know in advance when darkness surrounds you. You say, well, if the Lord loves me, then why? Listen, you need to stop thinking like that now. Well, if the Lord loves me, how come? Don't do that. Can you hear me tonight? Get that thought under control. Don't go down that road. It never ends well. No, he loves you. You may be an absolute stinker in the family of God, a troublemaker, and we would just try to pray you right out of this church over to some other place. Who knows what? But we can't do that. God loves you. But know this in advance. Number one, that isolation, being alone, could be fatal. Be humble before God in that kind of brokenness. But if the world begins to break you, here's what happens. You begin to be isolated. You isolate yourself. And that's never good. So watch out for isolation. Number two, recognize that your understanding will not be correct when you start to go down this path, when darkness begins to invade and swirl around you. You'll be isolated because, you know, you think you're some sort of a freak or a loser. You can't let anybody know, so you isolate. Then the next thing is that your understanding is skewed. There's nobody speaking into your life. You've cut your friends off. I'm going to get letters for this next statement. You've decided to do church at home. That's dangerous. Look, if you have broken legs or if you're a shut-in or you can't make it or there's truly no Bible teaching church in your community, then I get streaming online. I get it. But if you're avoiding church because somebody hurt your feelings somewhere, you're sinning. You need to repent and get back to church. Well, there's freaks at church, and you're one of them, and so are we. We're all in this together. Get over it. Get back to church. You need the family of God. But don't isolate yourself, because then your thinking goes weird. The third thing is, feelings will begin to take control of your emotions. That's a dangerous place. That's a lost world. Feelings and emotions. It's a dynamic that Jesus and the Bible throughout makes it clear that God has to renew our minds. They're so messed up. Minds, you know, minds. Remember last time we talked about the difference between the brain and the mind. Your brain is about an 8-pound ball that looks like spaghetti. We're not talking about your brain. We're talking about the soul that resides in you. Think about how awesome that is. There's no little thing over here. Or there's nothing back over here that houses your soul. Scientists cannot figure out where it's at. They don't know what happens to it the moment you stop breathing. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that the moment you die, you still weigh the same? You know, some of you have to think about that for a moment. If you weigh, I weighed 185 this morning, and if I drop dead tonight, I'm going to weigh 185. But I won't be there. How can I not be there and still 185? Just like, okay, oh, you young people, hang on to this. Ooh. Do you remember, people, something called a floppy disk? Raise your hand if you've ever heard of a floppy disk. The floppy disk weighed a certain weight. When you bought it at the store, it weighed a certain weight. When you bought it at Circuit City, it weighed a certain weight. The guys over here said, I had a stock in that company. Don't laugh. If you loaded up that disk with information so that it said, disk is full, how much did the disk weigh? Same. Think of the data being like the soul of who you are. Stays the same weight, but there's massive information on there. That's who you are. And when your emotions and your feelings take control, you're on the brink of absolute destruction. Don't go there. Get your mind under the control of the Word of God, of the Bible. Our community has been rocked recently with the suicide of a senior pastor. And there are people calling this church and other churches saying, what do I do about God and His promises now? If that happens to a pastor, what about me? God's word never changes. God's word never fails. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we must understand something. Isolation's fatal. Our understanding will become skewed. Our feelings will begin to dictate our lives. Number four, desperation leads to depression, which leads to despondency, which leads to hopelessness, which unchecked leads to death. And it breaks the heart of God. This is a brutal life we're living in. Those of you who are not Christians, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You're thinking, that's pretty cool. It's much easier in this world to not be a Christian. Say, Pastor, don't say that. I just brought my friend here tonight. I want them to become a Christian. Let's be honest with you. Let's tell your friend the truth. Listen, you want to play ping pong? Stay home. You want to play hardball? Become a Christian. Listen, you want to have fun now? Go ahead. You want to have fun forever? Be a Christian. Listen, you want to live in this world for all that it can give you? Good luck. That's all you got. But you want to live for Jesus now? Just wait and see what's coming for you. Big difference, let's be honest. If heaven and hell is real, if God is real and Satan's nasty, and we are truly that person that is physical yet spiritual soul on the inside, then we got some talking to do. Because I want to know where you're going. I want to know what you believe. What's it based on? What's the authority? Is what you believe in sanctioned and approved by the one who rose from the dead to make sure it's true? What is it that you believe? Because it will matter. It will matter. And God wants you to live. He says in verse 16, For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. For the spirit, that is the spirit of man, would fail before me. Listen to his heart. Can you listen to God's heart? He's so awesome. And the souls which I've made, meaning they would fail. For the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and I struck him. I hid and I was angry. And he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. God's heart's broken over our backsliding. I have seen his ways and I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. Verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him who is afar off and to him who is near, says the Lord. I will heal him. What an awesome thing. You say, Jack, what am I to do? Maybe you've been rocked by despondency and depression. Maybe you've had a career life of sorrow and pain. Isn't it amazing tonight? I just heard on the news, America is prospering like never before in our history. Tonight! And death and suicide is rampant in America. We have everything to live for, but we're empty on the inside. We're hurt. And even a believer can get their eyes off of God and succumb to this despondency and despair. So what do we do? I'm going to give you some things. I want you to write them down. If you see somebody not writing this down, I want you to write it on them. Here's what we do. So don't ask me later after service, well, what do I do? I'm not going to answer you. I'm going to say, go listen to the message again. Here it is. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. This is what we do. Ephesians 6, 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Put it on. So what is that? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice who we're fighting against. The devil begins to whisper, it's okay. It's all right. Oh, no, nobody will care. It's the better thing to do. No one's going to see you. It's okay. We're fighting against the devil, the Bible says.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Lord Knows, Part 3. Again, thanks for being here with us today. And you know, when darkness surrounds you, don't allow your feelings to take over. Stand on the Word of God and allow His words of comfort to take away your fear. The Lord Knows, Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, don't forget that we have a lot more media resources available from Pastor Jack. A lot of folks already watch his videos on Facebook and YouTube, but did you know that he's got weekly shows like the Real Life Talk podcast, Real Life TV, weekly devotions that you can tap into? Pastor Jack's also made available what's called Real Life Basics. This is awesome. Titles like What is a Christian? How can I share? And What if I sin? He's also got news updates, teachings that are live from Israel, even studies on the parables of Jesus. That was an awesome study, by the way. Check that out. It's all right there when you visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org or on the Real Life mobile app. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.